The Jays are off today. They dropped 2 of 3 against the Red Sox over the weekend. They're in New York, taking on the Mets tomorrow night. Here's Richard Griffin from the Toronto Star. How you doing, Griff?
Good, Brian. How are you?
We're doing well. We briefly mentioned the news from the previous hour that Major League Baseball has extended the administrative leave of Roberto Osuna, which was set to expire today. So they've extended it 7 more days to May 21st. But I don't have any reason to believe that'll be it, and he'll be back on the 22nd. I mean, do you expect this to just continue and continue till he actually ends up in court?
No, there's no way for that. You're now talking into the second half of June if that's going to happen. I think basically they want to get it right. They still have information that they're gathering. They know it's going to be a minimum of the period that they're taking to investigate, so they could even extend it another time. But I expect that they'll have a decision before the 21st of May, and it will include a suspension of a significant length. The longest that's been issued so far is 82, has been a 15, a 30, and it'll be somewhere in the 30 to 50 range, I would imagine.
And probably retroactive to the games he missed? Like, would that be included?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's like jail time already served.
Right.
Not that I know anything about that.
No, of course not. Why would you be a seasoned vet when it comes to that topic? I guess that's what the Blue Jays are hoping for, too, right? Because if somehow he comes off this administrative leave and shows up in the clubhouse and Major League Baseball hasn't made a ruling, then it would be on the Jays to figure out what they're going to do and how they would use him.
Major League Baseball and the union, don't forget the amount of input that the union has in all this, because they're part and parcel of that agreement, that disciplinary agreement. So, individual ball clubs rely upon MLB to keep this thing going and to do it in a fashion where they won't embarrass themselves in the situation that you described. And I think that this will be taken care of by June 21st, but you want to get it right, but you don't want to just take that 1 week and say, okay, the week is up, let's make a decision without having all of the facts. And I think that that's what they want to do. They know it's going to be longer than 14 days, and so they're working with that.
Well, and let's be realistic here. They have to find out if there's video evidence, and if there is, will it come out? Because I think every league learned from the Ray Rice experience with the NFL. When they made a ruling before they saw the video, allegedly, before the video went public, they made the ruling. I think they suspended him for 2 games, and then all of a sudden a video comes out, and the whole world goes crazy, and they had to make an adjustment. Now, I have no idea any of the details. None of the details have come out. But you would think that's got to be the priority for Major League Baseball in terms of trying to collect all the facts, because if they issue a suspension, let's say a 15, 20-game suspension, and then a video comes out 2 weeks later, and it's gruesome, they're really going to look stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. And every place has video now. There's not a place that you can get away from the video cameras. And this agreement came out in August 2015 between the union and Major League Baseball. So it was after the Ray Rice incident. And they learned their lessons about, taking their time to make the correct decision and making sure that all the evidence is out there. And exactly as you said, Brian, they got to make sure that there's no video that's going to come out after they've already made a lenient decision.
So Vladdy Guerrero blew up Instagram earlier today because he was at JFK on his way to Hartford, I guess. But he just pointed out, I'm at JFK, and everyone's like, wait a minute, the Jays are down there too because they're playing the Mets tomorrow. I think he knows what's going on. I think Vladdy Guerrero Jr.'s a pretty savvy kid. He understands the numbers he's putting up and how much people up here want to see him play. How do you see this playing out? Because he's putting up astronomical numbers at AA, and this is a Blue Jay team who, if you're being liberal, they're competing for the second wild card spot right now.
Yeah, if you're being liberal, but the photo apparently of Vladdy at JFK was one that he had taken in December on his way probably back to the Dominican, and he reposted it. There's no time stamp on it. So he's becoming quite the Twitter troll. So, but I see it playing out as, the Jays over time. If I put in my notebook online today, the number of terrific seasons that have been had at AA by Blue Jays prospects, and it includes Carlos Delgado, and it includes a bunch of other players that have or haven't gone on to become great major leaguers. But the difference in this one is that those Blue Jays teams, especially the mid-'80s to early 90s, didn't need a double-A player to come up and be a savior. And this team certainly needs someone, and Vlad is the likely candidate. I think that the decision on what they do with Vladimir Guerrero will depend on what they choose to do with Kendrys Morales, whether they end up eating his contract, because they can't trade him, they can't move him. And if they eat his contract, they will have to make a move that will keep the fans satisfied, and that would be bringing up Guerrero a little early.
Well, and that Morales deal, that's the first grenade that Shapiro and Atkins are responsible for. I mean, they can get off the hook for Martin's deal because he's not doing anything at the plate either, but Anthopoulos gave him that money. Tulowitzki was acquired by Anthopoulos, and that money is on the books accordingly because of Anthopoulos. But the Morales one, I mean, that's more personal in terms of this front office. And I have a feeling that if Shapiro and Atkins were not responsible for that contract, he would be gone by now. Because how do you keep playing him? He's been awful.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was early in the new regime. That was the first real roster move they had to make, the first signing they had to make. And I know that when you started your call-in talk show, that you probably had a couple of stinkers early on.
No, never.
Yeah.
Never. Fake news.
This is a case of at some point do they suck it up and say, yeah, that was early on. We've made some decent moves since then. Let's just cut bait and bring up the guy who's going to be our future. But I think it's going to have to be where they honestly believe that they're not going to be contending for a wild card, which a lot of us are already thinking right now.
Mm-hmm. Griff, well, maybe the future is us betting on when those young kids are going to come up with the U.S. Supreme Court overturning the federal ban on sports betting. Where do you land on that, and where do you think that's going to fit in baseball?
Well, the Players Association has already got its back up over that, over the fact. I think the danger is that if it's legal, that a lot of fans will look at a play at second base by Lourdes Gurriel throwing the ball away when they have money on the line, and they will file a complaint that this game is fixed. And now that it's all above board, now that it's all legal, people will have to pay attention to it. And I think that that's what's kept it in the background before, and it's going to be a major change with all professional sports in terms of dealing with disgruntled losers.
Well, I mean, Noodles brought up Pete Rose in the previous hour, and I mean, he's the poster boy of gambling in sports. Do you think there's a chance if it becomes legalized and more mainstream, baseball will change the way they approach Rose and specifically with Cooperstown?
Well, I think they should. But with this commissioner and the last commissioner, I don't think that they're the ones to do it. It would have to wait for another commissioner, and by that time, Pete will be too old to care. I think he's already in his late 70s, and I think that ship has sailed. He's got a lot of memorabilia. He's got his bats in the Hall of Fame. They recognize the hit totals and everything. He just doesn't have that bronze bust of Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, which is how you get those extra dollars signing autographs. So I don't really feel sorry for him, but I think he should be in. I would vote for him if he was on the ballot.
He does have the legacy of falling asleep on the Fox panel in about the 15th inning of the World Series a couple of years ago. So that goes a long way as well.
When he came to spring training with the Expos in 84, he didn't like the condo we got him because he said the satellite dish wasn't big enough. And then I found out he was watching West Coast basketball at 4 in the morning.
Awesome. Just letting it ride. In Canadian money, I'm sure, too.
Sure.
Thank you, Griff. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Anytime.
Richard Griffin from the Toronto Star.